Hello, Giovanni. Welcome to the show. Where in Italy were you born?
I was born in Perugia, is a city in the center of Italy, between Florence and Rome. It's quite known for the jazz community because there's a very huge festival called Umbria Jazz, and I lived there until I came here to France, to Paris.
When you were young, did you listen to a lot of music?
Oh yes, I did. I listened to a lot of music when I was young. Well, I started because my father likes music a lot, so he had a lot of records on his own, especially well, pop music of his age, I'd say, so he likes a lot. Well, Italian pop music, but also Neapolitan love songs or Beatles, Paolo Conte music and everything. Also, he plays a little piano and accordion and guitar, and he sings. He's a very Italian style, isn't it? But he also likes, and so I heard a lot of opera, a lot of, well, New Orleans jazz, and some, you know, Dave Brubeck and Modern Jazz Quartet, and so on. So, well, I started there. After that, with my older brother, we started to buy our own records. And at the beginning, we started by jazz classicals. So from, I would say, from Bud Powell, a lot of Charlie Parker, a lot of Thelonious Monk, Miles Davis, Art Blakey, Jazz Messengers, and well, all this music, you know, in between 45 and 60. So we started from this point. We were playing chess all the afternoon together and listening to these records. After that, when I was 16, I started to be interested to more pianistic style sessions, trios like the B11s one, but also Keith Jarrett, you know, all this kind of stuff. But I also listened to a lot of classical music, especially, well, it depends. I started by more romantic when I was a child. I really liked Chopin and, you know, Liszt, all this kind of very romantic music, but I came quite fast to Bach in the side and Scriabin in the other side. And I was also very interested in different music, especially the Argentinian tango. I listen a lot to this music, to the Astor Piazzolla work, but also some less known people, the gypsy music, the South American music, Brazilian in a way, but also, revolutionary songs actually. I started when I was 17 to be interested in these things. Actually, I had the idea of a solo piano record when I was 17, 18, using this music, the revolutionary repertoire, in a time where I didn't imagine that I would make records one day, but well, it was on this time. So, yeah, I can say I listen to a lot of music, and I still do.
So if you listened to a lot of music when you were younger, Is that because you came from a musical family?
Yes, like I told before, I come from a musical family. Well, my father is not a professional musician. He's a lawyer, actually, but he was playing, and he still plays some instruments, especially piano, but also accordion and guitar. And he sings a lot. Well, when he was at the university, he used to play in dancings with the band, and he gave to us the love of music, and also he gave us the chance to have instruments at home. Well, my brother go to the conservatory, but not me, so I am self-taught, and it was possible because I had my father's piano at home.
Giovanni, do you ever find any time to practice?
Well, I wouldn't say that, because I'm not a very good example, but today I don't practice a lot. I did it for many years when I was younger. I had some tendinitis problems some years ago, around, well, 8-9 years ago. And at this time I stopped for a while to practice, because it wasn't possible for me to stop work, because I had to leave on my piano, so I stopped practicing, and today I don't practice a lot, but I'm not very proud of that.
When did you first become interested in the piano?
I started to be interested in the piano when I was a child, when I was very, very young, because I had the piano at home. So I started to use it like a toy, actually, when I was something like 2 to 1/2. That's a big chance for me, because still today the piano is a kind of friend of mine. It's my favorite toy.
I'm curious, Giovanni, I'd like to know, who are your main influences?
Well, I don't... I can't say really which is my main influence. Something that I can say is that I'm not specially influenced by pianists. I mean, I really like the phrasing of artists like Gary Burton, that plays vibes, and Pat Metheny, plays guitar, or also other musicians that aren't really pianists. Something I really like is the sound of the piano in the classical way, the classical approach. Something I am very close to is the way of playing of Keith Jarrett or Bill Evans, for instance. This kind of pianists are very rich in the sound of the piano. But for the notes I play, I stole to a lot of musicians aren't especially pianists.
Now, in the 80s, I understand that you performed with Chet Baker and Steve Grossman. Now, what was that experience like for you?
Well, it was a very big chance, and it changed my life to play with such giants of jazz. Of course, it's very important in my life, because for the first time I experienced what the real sound of this music I wished to play, and it's jazz. And also I was very young at this period. I was still learning. I mean, well, you never stop learning in your life, but you know, today I am 36, I can say that I am a professional. This period I was very inexperienced. I was 17 when I played with Chet. Also, it was a very special situation because I just played with him because his piano player was sick, so they called me two hours before the concert saying, okay, we can't cancel this gig, so you have to come and play with him. You are the only piano player available in the city, so you have to do it, because we already got the money and we can't give the money back. So it was a very, very, very special situation. Of course, well, I am not really very proud of what I played this night, but something is really sure is that for the first time I was in the middle of the real thing, you know. And well, it changes your feeling about the music you want to play, you know, and it gives you it gave me a different approach of the thing. I started to, well, for this time I understood what had to be the sound of jazz. So of course it was very, very, very important experience for me.
Well, you know, that's interesting, but in light of that, let's go back to your first jazz concert that you ever attended. Do you remember who you saw?
The first jazz concert I ever attended was in 82. I was 12 years old, and I went to see the quintet of Jack Warren. Something is quite funny is that in this quintet there was Glenn Ferris playing, and I've been very impressed by his playing this night. And something like 20 years after, I made a record of him.
Now let's talk hypothetically here, Giovanni. If there was one musician that you would like to perform with and even record with, who would that person be?
There are so many musicians I would like to perform with, and I'm really impressed. That's quite difficult to find one, but probably Gary Barton as a soloist, Pat Metheny, that would be great, but also Charlie Haddon, for instance. But there are so many, it's very difficult.
Fair enough. I know it's a difficult question to answer, but very interesting response. I wanted to ask you, do you remember your very first gig as a professional musician?
My first gig as a professional jazz man was in a nightclub. I was 13 and I was paid for it, so it was professional gig. I had to escape from my house. My parents didn't want to meet me to play in this place because it was a really a real nightclub. I mean, but, you know, with bad people. So I had to go out from the window of my room. But my very first gig was not a jazz one. It was, I played organ in the church in the night of Christmas in 76.
Now I know that you're living in France at the moment. Do you ever miss Italy at all?
It can be strange that I say so, because normally Italians doesn't say this, but I don't miss Italy. I left Italy behind me in 92 for a lot of reasons, personal and historical, I would say. And I really don't miss Italy. When I go there, because I go there sometimes, especially to play, I don't like anymore this place. I mean, in a way, it's a kind of paradise. Of course, it's a beautiful place. There are beautiful cities. Life is sweet there, but the Italian society isn't anymore very interesting. This 15 years of Berlusconi power destroyed completely the Italian people mentality, and I can't stand anymore with this place, so I don't really miss it. Also, well, that's very personal, but I don't have really a family life, so that is a point quite rare for an Italian. So I have nothing to miss there, except perhaps the coffee, but well, that's not really a so important point in my life that I can say that I miss Italy.
Let's say you had to form a dream band. Now, there's, you know, it's such a difficult question to ask, but I usually get pretty interesting answers, and I was just wondering, if you had to form a dream band, who would it consist of?
Oh, that's a funny question. Dream band. Well, all my bands are my dream band, for the simple reason that I am a very lucky man. Being a jazz musician, I live every day my dream, my childhood dream. So I can't anymore make the difference between my projects and my dreams. And I think that not so many people is so lucky as I am that I can say that. So my future projects, or my future dreams, if you prefer, to play with the symphonic orchestra and rhythm section in a side, and also to form a trio with an American rhythm section, just to change the color of the music I'm writing this moment. With both, I would like to play some regional music I write myself. I have also another dream, and it's gonna come true, is to play with the Brazilian guitar player called Nelson Veras, and I will play this dream in August.
Well, you know, Giovanni, I'm really looking forward to that concert or that session that you're going to have. It sounds quite exciting, and you'll have to let me know how it went down. But let's get back to the music. I'd like to know what your 10 favorite albums are.
My favorite albums. Oh. Well, the first version of Goldberg Variation by Glenn Gould. Bill Evans' record You Must Believe in Spring. Keith Jarrett, Still Live. Charles Mingus, The Black Saint and the Sinner Lady. Miles Davis, well, kind of blue, but a lot of records of Miles Davis. Wayne Shorter, Juju. Wayne Shorter, Alegria, one of his latest. Wayne Shorter, Adam Seppel. Wayne Shorter, Atlantis. I Missed the Tenth. Astor Piazzolla, il suo quintetto di tango nuovo, live in Theater Rex in 67, I think, or 76, something like that. I can't really remember the number, but I remember very well the record.
When it comes to composing music, is that much of a challenge for you?
No, I don't think it's a challenge. Anyway, I don't feel it like that. Well, the best way to explain what's going on when I compose a tune is told by the title of one of the most beautiful Bill Evans compositions called How My Heart Sings. It's really like that. I mean, no, I'm normally doing something and I have an idea, and from this moment I go in a kind of special mood, very particular, where I can't think anything else about anything else, and finally, perhaps after 2 days or after 2 weeks, I go to the piano and I play the finished tune. From there, I start to play the tune that it become familiar to me, and if some days after I don't have the feeling that it's me that wrote the tune, it's ready to be played. If not, I normally forget it. If my tune is good for me, I can't forget it for all my life. So, it's not really a challenge. It's more a challenge when you compose because somebody asks you things. Sometimes I write songs, especially in France, there's a big culture of chanson française, and this is a form that's very focused on the lyrics and the lyrics. So very often I write music starting from the words, and that's quite challenging in the sense that you have to work on a lot of parameters. I mean, there is first the metrics of the lyrics, the sense, of course, but also the people who will sing it on stage. So you have to focus a lot on all these parameters. And that's quite challenging, but it's funny. I mean, I like it. It's probably one of my favorite things. The things I prefer is to write music.
So when it comes to your writing, do you have anybody or anything that influences you when you're in the process of composing a piece?
I can't answer to this question in a very sharp way, because anyway, the ideas are very often coming from outside. I mean, to hear music, a lot of music, feed your imaginary. So it depends. The tunes of mine coming from a pop music idea I thought it was interesting to work on, or on a classical. Anyway, I always start with a short melodic cell of 2-3 notes, and after that I try to make it sounding good and have a structure is logic and finished, complete. And these two or three notes can come from anywhere. Sometimes also I was inspired by mistakes. I mean, once I made a mistake playing a thing. I wanted to play a C minor, and I played something else, a very, very strange chord, and it liked me, so, and I liked him. And so I wrote my tune, Venture Humana, on this way, because I was just, my hand was just sweeping on the keyboard, so, you know, it can come from everywhere.
Tell us a little about your latest album, Prima o Poi.
I wanted to make this record for a long time. I first wanted to play with my friends, so with Flavio and Louis and Gilda. After all, it's kind of a fusion of two of my bands. The one of Air, so with Flavio and without a rhythm section, and my regular trio. I wrote some music specially for this band. My producer didn't want to work on it at the beginning. He had different projects for me that sometimes live of artists. And finally I had to write music, to call the musicians, play a gig, record it, and come back to my producer with the music. And it worked, because he finally decided to produce this record. After that, this record company closed, so I had to produce it by myself. But it was at the beginning just the fact that I wanted to play with these guys, and I thought it was really a cool band, and then I still think that it's a nice group.
Were the musicians on this album your regular band, or were there musicians brought in just for this specific session?
In this record, all musicians owning to one of my regular bands, but they didn't play together before. That's also one of my big pleasures, is to make people play together. Before my trio, Louis Moutin and Gilda Bouclier never played together. And Flavio never played with Gilda, Flavio never played with Louis. Glenn Ferris never played with me, and he never played with Flavio before my sessions and my concerts. Actually, after that, everybody is quite happy of the experience. I must have a good talent of talent scout. But anyway, well, you know, it's so a part of the music, the band leading, and so the casting you do. Call musicians is very important, to choose well the musicians you call, that it can work together and it can work with the music. And I always try to call people that will be pleased to play the music I write, because it's that they can do it. They are good enough on this style to do it, but they normally don't do it. So they will discover things. They will go out of their habitats. They will have to give something of themselves. If you find the good balance about these things, it can work really very well. And so you can make a kind of magic recording session, because it's quite difficult to make a record that is really alive, that where you can really find things interesting, you know, that tells you a story from the beginning to the end. And to have such a record, you really have to put a lot of yourself inside. It's not the same as play on stage. I mean, make a record and make a concert, also if you play the same music with the same musicians, is a really different job.
Now, you've obtained some very prestigious awards over your career.
The prizes are quite nice and important thing in a career for two reasons. The first is that your ego is pleased that you have been recognized by the profession, by the professionals, because normally prizes comes from the profession. And the second is that it helps you to be known by the audience, of course, and so you can play easily, you can find easily fans to record things, you become a more valuable, I would say, and that's quite nice, because you are more free to work on what you want to do. Everything depends on what you did to have them. My way of thinking about the music stuff, music career, so the business, has ever been the same, and it's very simple. I play all the notes I want to play. I don't change any, thinking about the charts, thinking about the radios, or anything, or especially the journalists and this stuff. I play for people. I play the music I want and I feel. That's it. After that, I try to sell it the best I can. And in this sense, prizes are very useful, you know. In another hand, it's quite well also to have this kind of prizes and see how it can be difficult after that to work anyway. And it helps also because your ego is really pleased of that, but you can also put things in the right place. I mean, it's not because you had the Victoire de la Musique that are the most known and prestigious prize of France that people will buy your record if it's not good. That's not a good reason, no. So they are also useful because they remind you that the important thing is the music, is the quality of the music, and the energy, your own vital energy, life energy that you put in the music you play.
Do you have any formal training, or did you pick up the piano just by listening?
That's a good question. I am self-taught, but I had some lessons in my very late, actually, between, I would say, well, I got 5 lessons of piano harmony and so on in my city from a musician called Ramberto Ciammarughi, a great musician, great piano player. I had the pleasure to see him some weeks ago, and I didn't saw him for 15 years, here in Paris, performing with Miroslav Vitus, so, and he's a very good musician. And when I studied with him, I was 16. After that, I came to Paris, and I met for big hazardous chance a very a wonderful classical piano player called Aldo Ciccolini, and he gave me also 5 lessons that changed completely my life, but that's it. The rest of my life I did it by myself, so I can't say that I have a formal training. I have a very informal training.
Now, speaking of the piano, when you're performing, is there a... will you be performing at a lot of festivals this year, Giovanni? A specific brand of piano that you like to perform on?
My favorite is Steinway and Fazioli. Well, Steinway because it's Steinway. It's one of the favorite pianos of the majority of pianists, because there are good reasons of that. I mean, it's a very brilliant instrument. It has beautiful basses, and yet it has a very high standard. Something is very important for us, is that we can get the piano very quickly, because we change of instrument all the time. For this reason, Yamaha makes good pianos also. I think Yamaha is the more simple piano to play, especially when you play jazz. So it's quite good for this, for the way we use it. But I like a lot Steinway and Sons. Also, if sometimes it's quite difficult to get the piano before the end of the concert. Fazioli is a new brand. It's an Italian one, starting to be very known in the world. And I used Fazioli to record my last record, actually. And sometimes I play on these pianos. I am happy when I find one of them, also if they are not very simple to get. They are very heavy. They have quite heavy touch, very, very, very sharp. So you have to be very sharp yourself, because the piano will show all the details of your playing, and so also the defaults. But Steinway, it's my favorite one for the moment. The best piano I ever played in my life was a Fazioli, actually. But in general, I prefer Steinway.
Will you be performing at a lot of festivals this year, Giovanni?
Not really a lot, but in a lot of places. And I like it. I like to travel and to meet very far audiences. I'm gonna play in Poland, in Korea, in Japan, in England, in Italy, in Germany, in Austria, in Switzerland, probably in Greece, hopefully in Canada, but I'm not sure of that. So, and I always do. I mean, I was in Venice 3 days ago with Flavio Boltro, and that's quite normal, you know, but it's cool. I really like that. I don't play a lot in festivals this year. Don't ask me why. There is not really a good reason, you know, that's life. But if you work in the whole world, you play a lot anyway, also if you don't appear very often in the same place, I mean, of course.
Do you enjoy the recording process at all?
Yes, a lot. I really like to make records. When I try to look to myself objectively, I think that I play better records than I play concerts. But well, that's a very personal opinion. What I like most is the inner side, is the fact that you have to play a kind of absolute music. I mean, when you have to record a tune, you have to give the more absolute version of this tune, because it's the one will exist for a long time. So you have to put inside the real meaning of this music. When you play in stage, it's different. You play the moment, what you have in your head in this special moment. When you record something, you have really to stay near to the real, to the original meaning of the thing. And you have to condense, I don't know if it exists in English, this word, but you have to put everything in the thing, the whole energy that it needs to be alive when you hear to it on the radio driving, or when you put the record in your CD player and you just do something else. Also, what things that I like a lot is to choose the tunes you are gonna play when you normally when I play a record, well, when I record something, I very often create my new band for this project. That's also very exciting to choose people to play a music that can make them match with the music and between them, and then to direct, to lead the band. And I am a very very non-authoritary leader. I mean, I never tell to people what you have to do and what you haven't to do. It's very very rare that I say, okay, please don't do that. Normally I give, well, normally first I play the tune. I think that my music is quite has a sense. It, my music goes in a way, so a good musician will go in the same way where the music goes. So that's completely unuseful to tell somebody what he has to do. For a record like Air, for instance, I first wrote arrangements of all the tunes, but when I arrived to the studio, and we didn't rehearse before the recording session, when I arrived to the studio, I didn't give the scores to the musicians. I just thought, okay, it's so stupid. I have so beautiful players as Flavio Boltro on trumpet and Glenn Ferris on trombone. They know how to make their instrument sounds the best on this music. So I gave them the real book score, I mean the melody with the chords, and I just gave simple instructions at the beginning. For instance, well, now please play me a free intro so that I will come in when I will fill it, and then we play the theme at the end. So just simple instructions of structure, I mean. And we recorded immediately what we wanted to. In this record there are first takes mainly. And we didn't record a lot more of alternate. You can't find in the tapes a lot of second takes. So we just played the thing and it sounded good like that. And I really like to make the musicians I call play. Also, I try to call musicians that I really like, and that I, you know, it's so nice to play with and to hear what they will tell on the music you write. That I leave them the freedom to play anything they want, and I trust completely on them, and normally it works.
So when you sit down at the piano, you must feel a spiritual bond with the music that is so special, and so it can be very invigorating at the same time.
I think that it's very important to be in the music you play. Now, it's quite difficult with my very simple English to explain what I mean, but I think that the performing music in general, it's a kind of concentration. I mean, you have to focus very strongly on what you play and on what you really mean to the audience. Because the music is a media. It tells a story. I mean, it's a love story. And it's very, very important to be clear on your head about what kind of love is this. I don't want to use flower power images, but in general, if you want that it works, you have to go on stage, play in a perfectly true way your love through the music, without asking anything to anybody, but just giving to the audience all the love you have for them, for the music you're playing. That's the only way to create the communication with them, to create a kind of, how can I say, a kind of hearing complicity, so that if you give everything you have and you put it on the table, you just give the example and everybody will do the same, and there will be enough for everybody on the table at the end of the concert, so that finally you play this energy, but everybody gives the energy. But you have to go first, and you know, and if you go on stage, I try to explain from the other side, if you go on stage and you want to be loved by your audience, you are already sure that you will make a bad concert, and people will never believe in what you are playing, because that's not the point. In general, that's not the point of the music, and I am really deeply convinced that artists have a rule to play in the world, and it's very important that we do it. I mean, I don't think I have a mission, and I don't want to convince anybody, but I am sure that if at the end of the concert somebody will feel again things of his childhood, that will give him some spell or some magic, the world will round better, will work better. Anyway, of course, when I play something and somebody in the audience feels something, I am simply telling him my story, but he will find in my music his own story. That's the point where we can communicate. That also the point that tell that we can't communicate in another way, because anyway we don't live the same story, or we are living the same story for a very short time. But that's the idea of the music. The music is evocating something, and my what I have to do, what the artist have to do, is that he has to be honest. First, he has to be honest with the audience about the love, the true love that he gives. And second, he has to be honest about the sense of what he is playing. You know, it's very difficult to explain. I hope you got it.
Now, you've performed in many places around the world. Of all the places that you performed in, is there... actually, do you have a favorite city or town or whatever that you enjoy performing in?
Oh, no.
I don't have any favorite place. Perhaps there are places I didn't like. Sometimes it happens, especially when I don't have a piano is good enough that I can play it well. I have a very special idea of the music. I like to find the instruments that let me play in the better way I can, so that the destiny of the concert depends on me and not on the technical problems you can have, and you always have. But there are places I really love to play there, because of the audience, because of the sound of the place, because of the piano and so on. Sometimes that's not so nice, but well, I prefer to speak about the ones I loved, and in general it's okay. I mean, I have the chance today, because I had some awards and I made a kind of international career, to have anyway enough good pianos to play and enough smart audience to hear to me, so that's cool.
Was there one specific recording that you made that opened you up to a wider audience?
The first one that worked was Architecture. It gave me a kind of good visibility in France, because it liked to some radios, some big broadcasts. So I had the chance to be heard, and people liked the record and bought it. Now, the one who really made my career like it is today is my second one, the solo one on the Revolutionary songs, Avanti. For different reasons.
Now, aside from your performing and recording, do you ever find any time to do any teaching?
No, I'm not at all a professional teacher. I am self-taught, like I told before, so I wouldn't know where I may start to explain to somebody what is music and what you have to do with. But sometimes, when people really ask me, and they really want to meet me to give a look to what I do, because anyway I have an experience and I can give them my own experience, so I normally say yes, but I don't really teach, and I'm not able to be paid for that. I can't ask money to teach to somebody. I never did it, and I can't. Anyway, if somebody has enough talent to play the music, he will do it one day, with or without my help, so I can't ask him money. I mean, also I had the chance to have lessons with Aldo Ciccolini, and he never asked me to play he never asked me to pay in any way, so I will never ask money for that. But I choose the ones I give lessons to, of course.
When you're performing, is there a particular setting that you like, like a particular preference in the setting that you like to perform in? For example, a solo, duo, maybe orchestral with a big band, small band, quintet, whatever?
I like a lot to play in trio, the standard trio, I mean, double bass and drums. But I also like to play solo, but it's very hard. And well, one of my dreams is to play with the string orchestra, a big one. I did it sometimes, and it's really funny. So I would like to make a record entirely dedicated to this form. But the trio is really an amazing experience, because you are very free, and in the same time you have two other energy source so you can change ideas very, very fast. And anyway, I like the small sets, so duos, trios. I like to play with section, but also without. Why not? Anyway, I made a record, piano, trumpet, trombone, and it was very funny. In this moment, I'm playing a lot in duo with Flavio, trumpet and piano, and that's really very, 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 very funny also. So, you know, music is music. The piano solo is perhaps the one I like less. I mean, I love it, but it's so difficult for the pianist that I prefer not to do too much. I did it for a long time also, because I told before, the record built really my career is the solo one, so I had to play in solo situations for a long time. And I'm gonna release a new solo in September, so I will restart with that. But I can do it for moments, but not all the time. Sometimes I need to play with my friends.
What does jazz mean to you?
Jazz for me is my main communication media. I was born in this city where I had so much beautiful jazz. So I started to love this music and try to play it when I was very, very young. And today it's my way of expression. Music for me is very intimately related to survival. I mean, I can't survive if I don't play music. That's the reason that made me a professional. I decided to play the music like as a job. Without knowing if one day I would be a star or not, because I can't live in another way. I would die if I stop. I think the engine of the artist always or very often come from dark things. I have my dark engine, but I one day I decided to use this energy. It's a very powerful energy. To play the music and not to do something else. I think that we are a category of persons that may make different choices in life. I mean, I wouldn't tell to anybody anything if somebody very talented decide not to make a career in the music, because the job is really hard. You have to work in a very difficult situation for almost 10 years, because before to have any idea of what will be your career. So if you don't do it after 10, 12 years, so you will be a bad musician for the rest of your life, because after 12 years that you make a job, you can't go anywhere else. It's quite difficult to change life, and it's very risky. And I can really understand people that doesn't have this strange idea to go alone in front of a lot of people to play an instrument to live. But in my case, I didn't really have the choice, because my life depends on that. My psychological life, I would say. So I play piano. That's it.
How did your association with the Sketch label come about?
My association with the Sketch label came out like always. That means that I went in studio in Le Buisson first, I recorded my trio record, Architecture, in 1997. After that, I decided that I wanted to sign it in a good label, or not at all. I asked to the major companies and to everybody who was producing jazz, and also I went to see Daniel Humer, and I asked him, do you have an idea? May you hear to this record and give me some ideas, because I don't know anymore who can be interested in this. And he called me the day after and told me, well, there's a new label. It isn't still opened. It's called Sketch. I recorded for them. Their first record was Hume, you know, Humer, Michelot, Utreger. So I think he will be very interested in this. So try to send to him. So I did it. And 3 days after, my manager called Philippe Guilmetti and just to ask if he had the record. He reached the record from the mail. And he said, oh yeah, Mirabassi, I will sign him. But well, may I meet him first, please? And so we started like that. I went to the meeting and Philippe asked me, well, we are going to make this record, I'm very interested in this, but do you have any other projects? Because you are my first young artist, so I would like that you have a special status in the Sketch label. I would like to sign you up for 3 years, and I was the only artist who had an exclusivity agreement. The others were signed up record by record. And I told him, of course, the dream of my life is to make a solo record on revolutionary songs. When I told him this phrase, this sentence, his eyes were shining, you know. And we started for 3 years. It was very natural, and we made very naturally our first 3 years of collaboration. It was very easy. The second 3 years of collaboration have been more difficult, well, after the label closed. But I like to remember the beginning of the adventure, when Sketch was one of the most beautiful labels of the story of European jazz. And I had the chance to be a part of the adventure and an essential equation of the adventure.
What are the advantages of working in France?
France gives some advantages to artists. Very important is the system. When you are a professional, you are paid from a part from the government to do your music. And anyway, first, France has Paris, that it's a beautiful place. And also a very international and very open-minded place where you can play jazz. In France, there's a real culture of this music. There's a real audience because of the fact that a lot of American musicians came here after the Second World War, and also they met the music was here, the French jazz, starting by Django Reinhardt. And all these people, Sidney Bechet lived in Paris, you know, there's a very big culture of that. Today it means a lot of producers, medias, specialized radios, and the audience, an audience that really knows this music. I think it's one of the more interesting places where you can play jazz in Europe. Because of that.
Improvising is such a special skill. You know, it allows you to create and invite all kinds of endless possibilities.
I think that improvisation is very impressing for people that never tried and that don't know how to do it. But finally, is a technique. so that it's not so difficult. I mean, well, yeah, it's quite complicated, but in general, after some years of horrible sounds, you arrive to get the habitude, and you start to think improvisations very, very quickly. You know, you just have to work hard, but after that, it's okay. When the soloist starts his improvisation, he isn't at all in front of a blank space. He has a lot of repairs, a lot of points that he can use to not to fall, not to mute, not, you know, that's not so dangerous as it seems. In the other hand, improvisation is a way of expressing, and it's a way of making music like others, very written ones, and all the music in the all musical activities is very difficult to mean something. You are not more free when you play a free jazz suite than when you play some Chopin stuff. It's not because you have notes, written notes, and you have to play exactly the way they are written that you are not free. And in the same way, it's not because you just decide the old notes you are gonna play that you are completely free. No, the difficulty is always the same, is to say something, and is to use it, the music, the score or the non-score, to tell something, to give something to somebody, to go in a direction. The chance of the music writing is that it's so imperfect that you can play anything. You can use any kind of written music to say exactly what you want.
Do you ever listen to older recordings from other musicians that might somehow inspire you and maybe allow you to create new ideas and new concepts?
I think that this mechanic is always going. I mean, I never played a record on my CD player to look for new ideas, but I am sure that it gave me new ideas. Or perhaps not so new ideas, it gave me ideas. Anyway, I have a very special conception of this. I think of the new and the old. I mean, I think that we play what we play. The important thing is to be honest with himself and play really the music comes from your soul. The story makes the rest of the job. I mean, I was born in 1970 in Italy, so I have all my cultural luggage. I was born in a special moment of the human story, and I will die in a special moment of the human story, and I will go with the human history, and I will play my music through the time has been given to me. So anyway, I am a modern musician, because I'm just living now. I'm composing tonight, so I am very modern in a way. I don't ask myself if I am doing revolutionary music for the audience. At the end, I don't choose to be myself, the one who will make the new jazz, if it will exist one day. It's the history that will decide for me. If you give a look to the history in general and the history of music, first, the music is a kind of mirror of the society, so it goes with the society. It's not on the other side. It's not music that changed the society. is the music that is changed by the society. Second, very often your talent is not especially the thing who makes you the most known musician that will change the story of jazz and that will, you know, invent something. The story decide. Charlie Parker was Charlie Parker. Somebody else had the same talent as him at the same time and was playing the same music, but nobody knows him. That's life. You don't really know the reason. The important thing is that Charlie Parker existed, so that he invented a part of this music, an important part of that.
So what has been the high point of your career so far, Giovanni?
I don't know. Well, sometimes I made nice concerts, I don't know, in Japan, in Tokyo for 2,000 persons. Well, probably the day when I got my big awards can be considered the peaks of my career, but actually I don't feel at all that I made a very, very, very big career. I mean, I think I still have some job to make. And I don't really imagine my job like that. We are inside the profession, so the important thing to me is to play good music. The career is just a way to finally have the chance to play for an audience who really came for you and play on a beautiful piano and have the musicians you asked for. Actually, I decided to make a career making a tiramisu. The tiramisu, probably you know, is a kind of cake, an Italian cake. And one day, I will tell you the story. One day I went to a friend of mine and I had to cook the meal, because we decided that we were a group of friends. We decided every week we made a dinner and everybody was cooking once. So I went and I made an Italian meal, and I started, of course, from the dessert. So I started to make my tiramisu, and this person where I was is quite rich, so she gave me the keys of her beautiful rich kitchen, and I had a beautiful robot, a beautiful thing to make my tiramisu. So I made the most beautiful tiramisu of my life, and I had a kind of revelation of that. That was that finally, if you have well, two persons that have the same talent, between the two persons that have the same talent, the one who will make the better career will be the one who will have the rich kitchen. So I really understood the thing, and I went to the better studio of France with the best musicians I found, and I recorded Architecture. That started my career. Also, I understood one day that if I wanted to live my dream, my childhood dream, and my childhood dream is very simple, is not at all a dream of glory. I just want to play on a good piano, tuned with the musicians I want, the music I decide to play for somebody who will listen to it and be paid enough to live off that. to have these 5 points every time that you play, you have to be on the 40 better record sell in the world when you play jazz. So I decided to do a career just for that, not at all because I wanted to be the Napoleon of jazz.
So getting back to the piano, what is it about the piano that you find so inviting, enticing, and enriching?
The piano is a very, very, very magical instrument, and very hard one, but I really love it, because, first, because of his own sound. It has a kind of moon sound. It's beautiful, it's really magic, and really evocating things. And the second, the other part of the charm of the piano is that this evocating power it has allows you to play the whole orchestra. Anyway, you have actually two ways to think about the sound of the piano that finally makes one. But, you know, the least one, so that you play thinking to the orchestra or thinking to other sounds that you can evocate. You can't copy, but you can evocate a trumpet or a bell or a cello. You can evocate anything, everything with the piano. And in the other hand, the real sound of the sound of the piano as it is, so this kind of magical sound, it's representing me a lot. Also because when I started to play, I was so young that I identified myself with the sound. And well, today it's mine. And also my master, that it's a real expert on the sound of the piano, gave me a lot of things about the richness he has on this art, this fine art to make the piano sound beautifully. The sound is in music, is really the sound of the musician, is his ID, is his passport, you know. That's the way you recognize somebody. And I think it's very important. That's something I'm very proud of, is that when I play a chord, after that you love my music or you hate my music, that's not the point. But when you hear to my music, you can recognize me. And that's really something I worked hard on. But it doesn't come from the melody, it comes from the sound. That's the really amazing thing about Keith Jarrett, for instance. Keith Jarrett plays triad, C-E-G, and you say, oh, that's Keith Jarrett. That's magic.
What importance did Aldo Ciccolini have in your terms of your musical development?
Aldo has an essential place on my musical development. I met him, I was 21. I left him, I was 23. And he changed my life because he told me a lot of true things. And he just explained me first what is the piano, because when I have to say, when I was 21, I thought I knew, but I didn't know at all what it is, the sound of the piano I was speaking about before. And second, he just told me, okay, I've never seen such a talent. That's him who said me that. Now you have to choose, you have to choose, to make your choice, you have to choose. You want to be a pianist, you can do it, but you have to decide to do it. And he told me that I already played with Chet Baker, you know, and they didn't get it at the beginning. But after that, when he asked me to if I wanted to have some lessons, so of course I said
Yeah.
And he gave me a very, very simple, small prelude of Bach. And he told me, well, play this for me. Come back in 2 months and play this for me. And I thought, well, 2 months I can play just now. But when he showed me the way he wanted to me to play it, and it was a very simple way, but the way you play this music and you make the piano sound, I worked for 2 months about this prelude of one page, and when I went back to him, I wasn't proud at all of the way I was playing this music. So I changed everything. I had to stop for 1 year and a half to play in public, because I wasn't anymore able to play like I was playing before, but I wasn't still able to play like I will play after. And I changed everything, and I think I would never be the same and in the same place if I didn't met this guy.
Are there any musical journeys left for you to explore?
A lot. Anyway, also if you play the same tune all the nights, it's always a different journey. But there are a lot of things, I have a lot of projects, but I prefer not to speak too much about. But you will see. I'm sure that you will see.
Winning the first soloist prize in Avignon must have been a real thrill for you.
Yeah, it was very important for me because it has been my first prize and one of the first times that I actually have been recognized really officially, because from my family I always had the same sentence, that was, anyway, you will go nowhere with music because you have no talent at home. You mustn't do like your brother do. He has talent, but you don't. And that's the reason I live in France, actually. It's because I had to go in a place where nobody knew me and just make my new life there. So for the first time an official entity said I was a good musician, and it was very important for me. That's the real importance of this prize for me today, not especially the other things. I mean, today I am not at all in this situation where I have to show myself that I can do it. It's finished. It's a long time that it's finished for me. But at this time, 10 years ago, it was quite different. I was young, I was 25, and I really needed this kind of things. Also, it was a cool situation because still today I have a kind of story of friendship with the Avignon staff. Actually, I will play with my duo, with Flavio, this summer in the same place where I had the prize, and especially for the 15 years of the competition. They organized some concerts of the winners that became famous since the beginning.
Who is your favorite Italian jazz musician?
Probably Enrico Pierannunzi. But, you know, there are so many good ones. I mean, there's a beautiful piano player called Danilo Rea of the new generation, and the wonderful Franco D'Andrea. It's very difficult to say who is my favorite one. There are a lot that I really like. And also, well, there are not only piano players, but Gianluigi Trovesi, Pietro Tonolo, Enrico Rava, Paolo Fresu. I mean, also people I play with, like Flavio Voltro, or Stefano Di Battista, or Rosario Giuliani. there are a lot, and everybody has something to say, and he tell it very well. So I wouldn't be able to tell, to say he's my favorite. There are a lot of so beautiful musicians.
Giovanni, thank you so much for dropping by today. It's been a real pleasure talking with you, and all the best in the future.
It was a pleasure, and actually I apologize that I'm a little late, but it was really funny, and of course it's quite nice to know that a lot of people that I don't know, and it's very far from me geographically, will hear my words. So thanks to give me the chance to do that, and I hope we will meet very soon. Bye bye.